This is Equestrian Legacy Radio.
He was the new kid on the circuit, gold buckles in his eyes. But the horse he drew was plenty rank, and much to his surprise, he did a double backflip, landed on his head. This old cowboy limped out in the ring, leaned over him and said, "You better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle as soon as you hit the ground. You've heard that the tough gets going when the going gets tough. But around here all we say is, son, you better cowboy up." By the end of last season, said he was among the best, so he proudly called the girl back home, hoping she would be impressed. But her mama said she married the guy he used to call his friend, and before the first tear could fall, these words came back again: "You better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle
to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Today we talk with two women who are living life in very different ways. Dani Lynn Howe knew from an early age what she wanted from life and went for it. She'll share her story and her music around the Campfire Cafe. Kathy Ritwich took a new road in life and a path to healing and adventure. We'll visit today with her on her journey as she shares some of her stories and lessons learned. Today's show is brought to you by our great sponsors featured at Equestrian Legacy's General Store and Marketplace. Be sure and visit and shop with them at the General Store at equestrianlegacy.net. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dani Lynn Howe.
How wrong I was.
Dani Lynn Howe is a multi-talented young lady. She is a radio host on WLLR Radio in Davenport, Iowa, and a very talented singer and entertainer. And Dani Lynn, that's called cutting it close. Welcome to the show.
That's called getting a new phone over the weekend, and I was freaking out because I couldn't find the keypad. Okay, that should be easy, right?
Well, I'm glad that you could make it for the show, and with live radio, those things just happen sometimes. So anyway, we're so glad to have you. So glad to have you joining us. And so what's going on in Davenport, Iowa today?
Well, it's sunny, thank goodness, for a change. We have had so much rain lately, and I know a lot of places have been just inundated this spring, but boy, it's really great to see the sun, and you know what that means? It means my grass is growing, and it looks like I'm going to be mowing this afternoon later on.
Well, that's part of it. So we're happy to see the sunshine and the rain. This has been kind of a tough winter for everybody. And I know our listeners out in Texas and in New Mexico and some other parts of the Southwest would love to see some of the rain that we've had back in this part of the country. But anyway, glad you could join us. And we want to introduce our audience to you and tell us a little bit about your background. Now, this is Equestrian Legacy Radio, and so I know that you have a little indirect connection to horses.
I sure do. My mom is super into horses. She has 4 quarter horses. She's had like a couple more and a couple less throughout the years, but she kind of got started with that because my youngest sister, I have 2 younger sisters, and she did some work for a lady with quarter horses, and she just loved it. So she, in turn for doing work for this lady, got a foal from her. We built a barn to house it eventually, and my mom loved it so much, and we rode, you know, as kids, and just kind of sprung from there. And so she's always had horses. She's done a lot of trail riding herself, and it's really rather fun to be around horses. So that's kind of, you know, on 5 acres of a rural country, it's, you know, besides biking and walking, you know, horses are like the next best thing.
Right. Well, we want to, we're going to talk about a trail ride that you're going to be participating in, not necessarily on the back of a horse, but we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But you and I visited briefly the other day, and talk to us a little bit about how you got started in radio, because that was a pretty interesting story.
Yeah, I don't think too many people have the opportunity of doing volunteer work to begin, but I was in high school. I just started driving, so I was around 16. I was doing some work on our yearbook staff, and I had come over on a weekend to do additional, like, developing of some photographs, and I was waiting for our instructor to get there, so I'm sitting out in my car. And I'm listening to a radio station, which I normally do. And mind you, it was a car that only had AM radio at the time. There aren't very many of those around.
No,
but
not today.
But as I'm listening to this, the station, they said, hey, we would like to have, some people volunteer. We have a couple of shifts open on the weekends, and we're looking for people to fill. And if you're interested, come on down. So I thought, well, that sounded really interesting, and I went down and applied and talked to the program director, and he said, well, I think you'll work out pretty well. So I did come down and do, it was a show on Saturday morning real early and then a show on Sunday, and he talked to me, the program director, later on and said, you know, you have a really nice voice for radio and a real personal connection with the audience, and you should think about doing it as a career. And I said, you know, I hadn't thought about it, but I'm really enjoying it, and I think I will. And that's exactly what I did. I studied it in college, and boom, here I am.
Oh, wow. Well, now, how old were you when you started with the station there? You were in high school.
Well, I was in high school, so I was about 16 when I started my volunteer work. And then worked there for a couple of years until I graduated and then went out to college. And I went to college, I'm an Iowa girl, so I went to college way out by Sioux City, and I did a little work at one of the Sioux City stations as like my internship.
Right.
And then eventually came back and worked in my hometown area, which is in Waverly, Iowa, for kind of a soft rock station. And that was where I got my start in official radio.
Right, right. You know, it's kind of interesting. We talked about this the other day. And I happen to have one granddaughter that is in college right now, and then I have another one that just will be graduating in a few weeks. Actually, both of them had birthdays over the weekend, one on the 3rd and one on the 4th. So I was busy celebrating birthdays. But we were talking about the fact that a lot of young people, when they start school, don't really know what they would like to do in their life. But you really didn't have any question about that, did you?
No, that's true. Once I started working in radio and found out how fun it is and really how wonderful it is and how great the listeners are, people would call and they're just so kind, and especially the station where I work now, they're just really great people. And once I got a feel for that, and I love music, I just knew. I knew from the moment that I decided it was going to be my career that I really wasn't going to change. Now, I have two daughters, and you're right. I had one daughter who decided, yep, she's going to do this, and she went through and she got her degrees, and, you know, that's what she's doing. My other daughter has changed about 3 times now, and she's only going to be a junior. So I hope that was the last time.
Oh, goodness, goodness, goodness. Well, some of these kids take 9 years to get through school because they change so many times. But as long as they get...
It's expensive.
That can be expensive. That can be expensive. I think that you told me, and I do want to ask this question, and I've got some of your songs that, of course, we played one to start with, and that's I'll Go On. But do you write most of the music that you perform?
Actually, right now, I write probably about a quarter of the stuff that we perform. I'm kind of shy about doing my own material out, and that maybe sounds bizarre, but I'm a kind of a people pleaser, and so sometimes when I do my own material, if people say, oh, well, yeah, it was okay, you know, then I get real self-conscious. And then, you know, that's the people pleaser in me. But I really enjoy, you know, performing things that I enjoy performing the things that I've written. But then I do worry about how it's going to be received. So, yeah, about a quarter to a third are things that I've written. And then we do quite a few covers of songs that I absolutely love, which is kind of the nice thing about being the leader of the band, is you get to sort of decide what you're going to play.
You get to pick. That's good. Well, I know that I think you told me that the station that you volunteered at was a religious programming station.
Yep.
I want to play one of your want to play one of your songs right now. It's called Like You. Is this something that you wrote, or is this a cover that you've done?
Well, this is actually a song that I wrote with my husband now. There was a time when he was really reflective, and he wrote a piece of a poem. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I really want to use this in a song. And I really felt like it could be faith-based. And that's where the song Like You came out of.
Okay, well, it's a great song, and we want to share that with our audience right now. It's a song called Like You, and it's Danny Lynn Howe, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Of my mind, straight
That's Danny Lynn Howe. And Danny Lynn, we want to talk a little bit more about your radio background and what you're doing right now with WLLR. But before we go back and talk about that, while we're listening to some of your music, how did you get started performing? Because I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I started singing probably, you know, really little in like church events and things like that. But I really got my start in college, doing plays and musicals. And once I started to sort of sing in front of people, especially during musicals, you're like, wow, this is kind of exciting. And people are excited about it. And they're giving feedback, positive feedback. And it's like, wow, I really like this. I really like standing up in front of people doing, you know, music.
Right.
So then I got going into karaoke because that was back in the 80s when karaoke was really starting to take off. And I would go out to, you know, some of the karaoke bars and, you know, do competitions and things. And one time when I was doing, and then this was more into the 90s, I was competing in a karaoke competition and ended up winning. And a man in the audience came up to me and said, you know, I really think I would like you to sing in our band. Would you be willing to do that? And I'm like, oh, sure. How many songs? And he's like, oh, I don't know, maybe 6, 8 songs, something like that. So yeah, that's what I did. I picked out about 8 songs and gave them to him. And he's like, okay, yeah, let's do this. So I performed a few times with those 8 songs, and it went over really well enough that he said, well, let's do a few more. And then it's, let's do a few more, and then let's do a few more. And pretty soon I was doing the bulk of 4 hours. So I don't like to, you know, say I did anything, you know, crazy, but I would kind of call it a little bit of a benevolent coup because I ended up taking it over and it became my band after that.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. Well, now, how long have you been, because I know that you've performed all over that Quad Cities area, and you've opened for some pretty well-known folks. How long have you been doing that now?
Well, I started singing with that band in 97, but we really became the Danny Lynn Howe Band in 2000. So
okay.
Only like about 14 years.
Oh, that's great. That is great. And are there any particular events or occasions that kind of stand out for you? Did you play with anybody that was kind of like a wow thing for you?
Oh, man. There are two that I just loved. And first off, it was getting the opportunity to open for Martina McBride, because Martina is like like who I aspired that I could just even have as much talent as in her little tiny finger, you know. I just think she is fantastic. I've been a member of her fan club. She probably, if she's listening right now, would say, oh, my God, not her. No.
not but, a stalker, yeah. I hope, but yeah.
Well, no, not to that extent, but I've been to a lot of her shows. So
well,
to get the opportunity to open, yeah, to get the opportunity to open for her was just over the moon. And then the other artist that I really enjoyed working with was Susie Bogus. Susie is from the Aledo area, which isn't far from where we are. She did a lot of her performing here in the Quad Cities. And she is an amazing artist. She is also sweet and kind and extremely personable. And we just had a really nice time when she was here in the Quad Cities, and she did an event at the fairgrounds, and I got an opportunity to open for her and backstage talk to her and just kind of be there. And it was really great.
Well, she is another extremely, extremely talented singer and entertainer, and I was really delighted to see that she was back on tour with her new Lucky CD that she has out. And she's just been traveling all over the place, both in Europe and here in the States. But a super talented lady, and not too far away from where I am is where she lives now. So.
Yeah, and she did an amazing job on that Lucky. I mean, not to, like, totally get off subject, but to do it as a Kickstarter and to get such fan support for that, that was amazing. I knew it was possible, but wow, to see it happen was just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting the way that people are being creative now with these crowd funding programs like Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it hadn't been too long ago when I had a guest on that was using Kickstarter to fund a movie that he's trying to get done. And it's all about horses and the relationship between a man and a Mustang. So I hope that one goes through as well. But yeah, this crowdfunding has really been something. But she is a talented lady, and she's on my wish list to get on the show, so we're going to try to reach out to Susie before too long and have her join us on here as well. But let's talk more about you, and we want to listen to a song. Again, we want to introduce our audience to you because we've got folks that are listening worldwide, and it's kind of fun to introduce new people new to our audience as well. This is a song called Let Me Know. And is there any story about this one?
Well, this is actually a song that my husband brought to us from his uncle or his cousin. And they have always worked really closely together. So he brought it to me and he said, well, what do you think? This could be something good. So we heard his recordings and kind of worked with his cousin just a little bit. And then we kind of just created it in a way that could be our own. I really enjoy this song because it has, to me, it kind of a Beatles feel to it. I mean, that's just my opinion. But I like a lot of different styles of music, and that's what it reminds me of.
Okay, now who is performing on this with you? Because I think there's a little harmony there. Is that your husband?
Actually, it was before he started to do a lot of the recording with me. He, you know, you think I'm a little bit shy about bringing my stuff in front of people. He is like ultra, like he doesn't want anyone to hear anything until he thinks it's perfect. So he was a little shy about singing along with me on some of the things. So these were some guys that I did some work with in the band before. And some of them are still with me, some of them aren't. So it's kind of fun to go back and to listen to these recordings because it brings back a few memories from a few years ago.
All right. Well, let's listen to Let Me Know. And this is Danny Lynn Howe on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Danny Lynn Howe. And Danny Lynn, as I was listening to that, I wanted to ask, who have been your influences in your music and in your style of music?
I think country artists have played a big role in that. I mean, as far as like maybe how I approach like my vocals, Patsy Cline has always been a favorite of mine. And then, of course, Martina. I love Susie Boggess. But, you know, in the rock era, I just, you know, the Beatles, how can you even enjoy music without having the Beatles touch your life in some way, shape, or form? So they've always been they've always been an influence on me, just the different styles and the unique things that they've done throughout the years. It's just, wow, it's inspiring.
Well, it is. And, you know, we all have been influenced by different types of music, you know, as we're growing up. And the Beatles were just a big factor in so many people's lives that were part of my generation. And obviously talking with you, a younger generation as well. I got to tell you, you mentioned Patsy Cline. And my dad was in the retail business and had a business in Nashville. And there was a big station back in the 60s, early 60s, Weno Radio. And Patsy Cline, they would do remotes. You know, they still do remotes today, but it was pretty frequently that they did remotes to help promote a business. And so Weno came quite often to do a remote broadcast from my dad's store, and Patsy Cline would stop in to promote her music and to get a little airtime. And
wow.
So that was quite a treat to have that happen. And actually, quite a few of the artists that are legends today would stop in and spend a little time visiting and have a couple of their 45s played back at that time. So people that may be listening don't remember 45s, but there really were such animals as that. So,
yeah, really
yeah, it's changed a little bit. It's changed a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your about WLLR, and
okay.
I think you told me that you had been there for just a couple of months.
Yeah. Well, my 18th anniversary. My 18th anniversary is coming up on the 13th of May. So,
wow.
A long time. I feel like I've been here forever, but yet it feels like it's been so quick because, you know, things change and yet they remain the same. And, you know, it's hard to put that stamp on time as it passes. But while people say 18 years, and yet there are some kids who were like, you know, 2-3 years old, and they're like, oh, we grew up listening to you. I'm like, oh, I'm
yeah.
kind of old.
Well, and then you have to tell them that you were only 13 when you started at WLLR, so that's
exactly
okay.
Right.
That is okay. Well, and because, you know, we're down here in the Nashville area, maybe we're not as familiar with WLLR, but what type of format do you have? And then I think you received a pretty prestigious recognition, last year.
Yeah. Well, we are what I would call today's country hits, so top 40 country music. It's been that way ever since I've been at the station. And, in fact, we've been rated a number one station in our market. So in the Quad City area, over all the stations for probably over 20 years. So that's pretty amazing in itself.
It is.
The award that we got, and, you know, because I'm a bit biased, I kind of feel like we should have had one of these earlier. But finally, last year in 2013, our station was awarded a CMA award for Small Market Station of the Year, which is a big deal, a very big deal.
Well, it is a big deal, and congratulations to you and to WLLR for being recognized for your music and your work there. What time, now if we want to listen to you, when can we find you and where can we find you?
Well, you'll have to get up a little earlier than your normal, you know, daytime routine, probably, unless you are an early riser, because I work with a gentleman named Pat. We're co-hosts, and we do the early morning show. So we start at 5 and work until 10 every morning, and that would be Central Time if you're trying to find us. You can listen to us online if you're not in the Quad City area. And that would be at WLLR.com, or you can even find us on iHeartRadio.
Okay, that's great. Well, I would encourage people to check your show out, and I tried to do that Saturday morning, but I will admit that I had a late night on Friday night, and so I didn't quite get up as early as I wanted to. So, but we will catch
your
show.
Well, Gary, I'll forgive you.
All right. I promise we'll catch the show, though. So that's exciting. And, you know, I've asked people this before. I've got folks that have been on the show that are entertainers and are also horse people. So their two passions are music and horses. And I've said, if you had to do one or the other, which would it be? And so sometimes I get different answers. If it were radio or performing, do you have one that is, you know, maybe a little bit more fun for you?
You know, I might have to flip a coin on that one, because I just am so passionate about music itself that I enjoy just, I'm out of this world about radio. I love my job. I just really enjoy the listeners and people that call in, and they're so much fun. But I also really love to sing in front of people and just to be able to communicate a song to them, a feeling, bring them away from their everyday life and just give them some time to enjoy what's around them. That is so much fun, too. And I really don't know if I could choose. So I feel really blessed that I've been able to do both and
right.
not let one really interfere with the other.
Well, and that's the best of both worlds. And that was the answer I got from some of these people that are you know, touring and horses. I have one lady that, Junie Fisher, who has received numerous awards as Entertainer of the Year and Female Vocalist of the Year with the Western Music Association. But she travels sometimes with her horse Silk. And, you know, she makes sure that she has her gigs lined up so that Silk can go along and she can compete a lot of the time in California. So you don't always have to choose. You can enjoy the best of both worlds, and it sounds like that's exactly what you have going on right now. So that is a treat both for your audience that listens on the radio as well as the folks that get to enjoy your performances through that area. And while we're talking about your performances, we have a special event, and I'm going to thank you in advance for your participation in this. We have a special event that's taking place across the country June 5th through the 7th, and that is the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association National Trail Ride that is to benefit the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. And that foundation was named after Michael Martin Murphy's granddaughter, Fiona, who was born with osteogenesis imperfecta, which is commonly referred to as brittle bone disease. And so we'll be holding this event in six states here in the United States. And we're going to be at Sandy Oaks Campground in Keithsburg, Illinois, June 5th, 6th, and 7th, and you have been kind enough to be our featured entertainer and put on a concert there on June the 7th. So we want to thank you for that and encourage our listeners, and hopefully your listeners will be aware of that event that's going on, but it will be 3 days. There will be some entertainment each night. There will be clinics that will be put on. We'll have vendors that will be present at that event. And then on the final night, we'll have a wine and cheese meet and greet with the star, and that's Danny Lynn Howe. And then she will be in concert at Sandy Oaks Campground in Keithsburg, Illinois. And all of this is to raise money for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation, who helps kids that are suffering from this incurable disease, and also helps to support therapeutic riding programs, which is so helpful to so many folks that are suffering disabilities. So what can we expect when we come see
what we've got planned is about an hour and a half to 2 hours worth of music, and we're trying to stay high energy so that people can have a load of fun. I know that by the last night, people might be getting a little tired with all the riding. Yeah, so we're hoping to keep it up and light and fun. And as far as the wine and cheese, I'm really looking forward to that. So one of my favorite parts of the night, I think.
Oh, gosh. Well, we want to encourage people to attend at all of our locations, and they can find out where the locations are, who the performers are at each of our venues, and also we'll have a link to register for the rides at equestrianlegacy.net, and you can go to our event section there for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation and get that information. Plan on doing that. If people can't come to ride for all 3 days, there's going to be a day ride that we would encourage people to come for on Saturday, and then stay for the Danny Lynn Howe concert on Saturday evening. So, going to be a great time. we're looking forward to that. And I will mention, too, that you can buy tickets in advance for Danny Lynn's concert at the FionaRoseMurphyTrust.org. And that's FionaRoseMurphyTrust.org. And you can pre-order your tickets online. And we're expecting that thing to be a sellout and just a great night for everybody to come and hear Danny Lynn. Anything that you'd like to share with us that we haven't covered, because we're about to run out of time for this segment?
Well, I just want to say that anyone who comes out to support, just thank you so much, because you're right, this is a terrible disease, and really our kids shouldn't get afflicted with this and have to, you know, live with this. So, you know, anybody who comes out to support, I just say thank you so much. I invited my mom to come out. She may be trailering her horses out with a friend and enjoying the ride too. So I hope everyone comes out and really has a great time. Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
Great. Well, again, I want to thank you publicly for participating in this, and appreciate very much. I know people are going to be in for a real treat to be able to meet you and to listen to the great music that you're going to provide. So thanks for taking the time, because I know you're a busy, busy lady. You've got a lot of things that are on your plate, and it's been a pleasure to talk with you on the show today.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to talk to you too, Gary. It's really nice to get to know you.
Well, good to talk with you, and I hope to catch you on the trail or at some kind of a radio event somewhere. But we've been talking with Danny Lynn Howe. And again, thanks, Danny Lynn, for joining us. And we'll close this segment with her song, Away, which is just an absolutely beautiful song. And you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. Thanks, Danny Lynn.
Thank you.
In just a moment, we'll be talking with Kathy Ritwidge, but we remind you that Equestrian Legacy Radio is brought to you today by our great sponsors, featured at Equestrian Legacy's General Store and Marketplace. Be sure and shop with our sponsors at equestrianlegacy.net. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard worldwide online. Kathy Ritwidge is a New Jersey girl who moved across the country to L.A. She is an artist, a horsewoman, and Kathy is on the adventure of a lifetime. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for...
Glad to have you with us. And where are you today?
I am in a little town called Newcastle in Nebraska in the northeast corner, very close to South Dakota and to Iowa. And I'm at Turkey Creek Ranch, which is a horse camp here.
Okay. All right. And we want to talk more about where you've been and where you're going, but right now I'd like to let our listeners know a little bit about your horse background. How did you get started with horses?
When my middle son was in preschool, they started bringing a pony to the Montessori school on Fridays, and he was one of these kids that was immediately obsessed with horses, and we started taking riding lessons together on the weekends as something to do together. And that was when I was just about 50 years old. So I started pretty late in life. And then I continued. That was in Illinois. Then we moved to California. And we'd bought him at 6 years old an Arab mare, which, because we had no idea what we were doing, was probably not the best choice of horses for him. But we were at the Flint Ridge Riding Club in La Cañada, California, and got in training with a fabulous natural horseman trainer there, Charney Lewis, who taught both of us how to ride, and shortly thereafter bought myself a birthday present for my 50th birthday, and that was Dreamy, who had been a roping horse prior to that. I think she was 4 years old when I got her, and she took really good care of me. As soon as I'd get on balance, she'd just stop. She was like the perfect first horse. And Dreamy is with me on this trip still.
Well, that's fantastic. And by the way, happy birthday, because you just had a birthday, I think yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday. I turned 60.
Well, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Well, we want to talk, what was your riding experience, you know, primarily after you got Dreamy and little Arab horse? What kind of riding had you done?
Well, she taught me how to ride in an arena, and I had really poor balance. I had a lot to learn. Before that, I'd been a runner and a ballet dancer, but I was not a very good horseback rider, and when Charney finally gave Tommy, my son, and me permission to go out on the trail by ourselves, it was like a momentous event. And Tommy took me on a long ride. He was he was probably about 9 years old then. He was a much better rider than me, and we went for this ride down into the arroyo and up into the Angeles Forest to the waterfall, and it was the most exciting thing that had happened to me in a very long time, and I was totally hooked on it. We went on a few packing trips after that. I went to packing school, and after Tommy's horse died, I then adopted a PMU baby and thought that with Clinton Anderson's 10 DVD discs instructions, I could do this on my own, but I quickly found out that I needed somebody that knew what they were doing. And I stood by and watched all of that training with her as a baby. And then, but mostly my riding has been on the trail. As clinics would come around, I did clinics with Ray Hunt and with Buck Brannaman, and I trained with a Grand Prix level dressage trainer, Kit Stibbins, at the Flint Ridge Riding Club. And I really liked to dabble in a little bit of everything, because I really think that all of the different disciplines can teach you something.
Right.
But the whole goal is for me to be out on the trail. That's what I love to do.
All right. Well, you know, I think most of our listeners, not all, but most of our listeners are probably folks that enjoy being out on the trail and enjoying their horses for pleasure, but we do have folks that are involved and engaged in other disciplines as well. You know, you're on this great journey, and so for folks that are not aware of what you're doing, what are you doing?
I am going to all 48 of the lower 48 states, and I am camping and riding my horses and doing a painting in each state and writing about it, keeping a blog, and I hope to put that together with some other writing that I'm doing along the way and writing a book when I'm finished.
Okay.
And
well, for somebody that started about 10 years ago riding for the first time, this is quite an adventure to take.
Well, I've never done any horse camping before either.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
You know, I never even owned a truck before. So, it technically just dealing with the whole rig has been an adventure.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes a nightmare.
Yeah. Kathy, what possessed you? What inspired you or caused you to take off on this 48-state odyssey?
Well, I'd split up with my husband, and I moved into a small apartment in Pasadena, and I really didn't like my existence there. My youngest was heading off for college, so I didn't really have the daily responsibilities of being a mom anymore, and I didn't want to stay in the L.A. area because of the cost of living there, and I really wanted my horses to have more freedom than they would get being stabled there.
Right.
And I started talking about it to people, like, you know, and I'm looking at people on, you know, in Trail Rider magazine, and I'm like, wouldn't it be really cool to go to, like, all 48 states and ride in all 48 states? And everyone thought, oh, yeah, right, she'll never do it. And I mentioned it to my therapist. I was in therapy, and her ears perked up, and she said, I think you should do it. I think it would be really good for you. And that was really all the endorsement I needed. So I started researching what kind of a rig I needed and trying to plan a route. I had a friend that was going to come along with me that had a much, much more experience with horses than I did.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, she backed out at the last minute, and I ended up just leaving with my horses and my dog and my cat in September last fall.
Oh, wow. 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 Well, I want to take just a real quick break. There's a song that a friend of ours, Templeton Thompson, has done. It's titled A Horse That Can Fly. And
okay.
When I was preparing to talk with you, I thought of this song, and I thought this was a pretty fitting song. So let's take just a quick break and listen to A Horse That Can Fly by Templeton Thompson. And we're talking with Kathy Ritwidge. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes, need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head, gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass. My back and a lot on my mind. Yeah, the weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and live a big old cloud of dust. Yeah, yeah. Second star to the left, then straight on till morning. Yeah. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. A fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I saddled these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah, I need a horse that can fly. Yeah, oh yeah. Feeling all cooped up, feeling all caged. Light on my mind, yeah. Gonna free my wild side. Yeah, I need a horse that can fly. Yeah, oh yeah.
Templeton Thompson's A Horse That Can Fly, and we're talking with Kathy Ritwidge, who is traveling across the lower 48 and with her two horses and her dog and her cat. And Kathy, did we pick an appropriate song there?
Yeah, I really like that song. I've never heard that before. It's very appropriate.
Well, it's a great song. Templeton is a talented young lady. And let me take a minute to mention to our audience that is listening today that we pre-recorded this show because Kathy is traveling where she doesn't always have the best cell service in the world. And so the folks at the campground were kind enough to let her use their landline. And so we will not be taking any calls during this show today. But we're just happy that we could arrange a time to talk with Kathy and share her story. So no calls today, but I know you're going to enjoy our conversation with Kathy. Kathy, talk to me a little bit about the preparation before you started this trip. What did you said you never had a truck before?
No, the only hauling I had done was with a two-horse Brenda up that I pulled with an SUV, and I'd gone to a couple of after rides like that. And so I had to get a new vehicle because the SUV was in bad shape, and I bought the truck first. I don't know if that's normally what you would do, but I got lucky in that I ended up with a truck that was strong enough and big enough to pull the trailer that I ended up getting. And I got a used living quarters three-horse trailer in California. But both purchases were completely ignorant. I'm just really lucky that it all worked out. So that was the first step. And then right after I took delivery of the trailer, thank God my son came with me, 21-year-old, big, strapping young man, because I got in big trouble. I took a test trip, and I went up to an Egalla clinic up near Sacramento, and I had many problems, and I did $8,000 worth of damage to the trailer.
Oh, my goodness.
And thank God my son was with me, because we had to pull the dividers out and get the horses out the emergency door. And an incredibly lucky other streak was that a guy who happened to be pulling into that gas station, I ripped the whole back of the trailer off in the gas station apron. Guy pulls up on his four-wheeler to buy cigarettes, and he goes, "Hey, you need any help? I happen to be a welder." And he and his family took care of us for the rest of the day, fixed my trailer good enough so that I could get back home. First thing I did when I got home, besides drop it off for repairs, was sign up for professional truck driving school, because I obviously had no idea how to pull a trailer.
Oh, goodness.
And I spent most of my days going to those private lessons and then going over to the Rose Bowl parking lot and setting up cones and practicing it over and over and over, because
I just felt so
incompetent with pulling the trailer. That was the scariest part to me. I would get so anxious pulling the trailer that I would be exhausted when I would finally park it. So I needed to really spiff that up. And then I tried to plan a route, and it was very complicated because I wanted to make sure that I was in weather that was going to be tolerable, and I didn't even know about private horse camps at that point. I was trying to go by national forest that had parks where you could camp with your horses, or state parks, and I ended up going. I started out, went to Utah to a primitive campsite, which was really way too ambitious for my first stop. My second stop was up at a ranch at a friend of mine's where I have a horse retired, and he spent 10 days, it's Chalice Creek Ranch up in Chalice, Idaho. He spent 10 days fixing all the things that I didn't have right, new tires, and how's this work and how's that work, and when I left there, I felt much more prepared. But my route that I had planned was going to go up into Wyoming, and while I was in Idaho, Wyoming got 6 feet of snow.
Oh, man.
So coming up with a route was really difficult, and Jack had told me, why don't you just go to the next state and plan your next state when you're in the prior state? And so that's what I did across the country, and because of the winter that we had last year, I just kept going further and further south, and I ended up in Florida, where my dad is, and while I was there, I then spent time on the computer. That's the other thing. It's hard to plan your next stop if you don't have Wi-Fi or cell service. I didn't want to continue the trip that way, and now I've got a pretty, you know, having internet down there in Florida, I have a pretty good route planned, I think, and I have actual campsites picked out and their phone numbers all written down on pieces of paper so that I can confirm everything as I go along. And so I feel a little bit more organized about all that now.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, where were your first stops? You were in Idaho, then you traveled on and ended up in Florida, and where have you been so far?
Oh, the list of states that I've already done. Let's see, I first went to Utah, and then Idaho, Colorado. Then I went to Kansas, but I didn't ride in Kansas, so I didn't count it at that point. And I met up at an overnight with a woman that talked me into going to Missouri to 4J down there about this private horse camp. And that was my first experience with a private horse camp. So then I went to Missouri. What?
And I just started to say, and the Laughlins run a nice place there at 4J, so that was a good experience for you.
There was probably like 100 trailers there. I was like, died and went to heaven. I was like, oh, my God, I didn't know places like this even existed. So that opened like a whole world to me that I did not know was around. And then I went to, I don't remember the order, but I think it was Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina. And then it was getting really cold by then, and then I just headed straight to Florida. And I spent three 3.5, I think, months with my father and down in Florida watching the rest of the country freeze their butts off. And I didn't want to leave until it looked a little bit better on that weather map. So
right.
I did do a ride at in Mayo at RO Ranch with the Best of America by Horseback group, and that was a lot of fun. But it was even there, it was cold. It was really cold. That was January.
Right.
Then I headed out. I went Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and now I'm in Nebraska.
Well, that's pretty amazing. We want to talk a little bit about and your painting as you travel to these different locations. And you attended University Art School, I believe, in Pennsylvania?
At Philadelphia College of Art, it was called, and they changed the name, and now it's called University of the Arts. Yeah, I was a painting major. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you're traveling as you go to each state, you're doing some artwork, and let's just mention right now that people can keep up with your travels and see your art at kritwage.com.
Right, that's my blog.
And see her work and kind of some interesting stories that she posts on there. But what's your plan for your artwork as you're traveling through?
Well, these are very small paintings. Most of my paintings are much bigger in scale.
Mm-hmm.
But I had done a painting of Tiara, who is my daughter's horse, who's retired in Idaho, and it's 4 foot square. And it was hanging in my living room in my Pasadena apartment, and I was thinking it would be really good for me to do one in each state, just like that, one of my horses in a landscape, because I like landscapes and I like horses.
Right.
And but I knew that I wouldn't be able to carry around the supplies that I would need to do that 48 of them that big. So these, I'm kind of calling them studies. They're only a foot square. They're on masonite board. And I switched to acrylics because I figured the dog would get into the oil paints in the trailer. It would be too much of a mess. So hopefully I would like to have a show someplace with all 48 of them when I'm done, and I would like to then spend some time using them as studies for larger pieces, more in the lines of 4 foot square. But the rule for me is that it's got to be a landscape and it has to have horses in it. So, and try to make it indicative of what the state is. But, you know, states are so diverse. I mean, when I was in Texas, I was like, this is not what my picture of Texas looks like. But it was very green and flowers and lake.
Right.
And I always thought of Texas as a kind of dry place. But you know, it's a big state. So
it's a big state. I lived in El Paso, Texas, for several years, and you certainly wouldn't see a lot of green and too many flowers unless people were watering them in their yard. So, yeah, big state, big territory. What are you learning about the country and the people as you're traveling through?
Well, you know, this is not just a horse adventure for me. This is a personal growth experience.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is, one of the big parts of it is learning to trust people again and have faith in people. And the people that have rescued me when I've gotten lost or have helped me when my horse's feet are sore or helped me when my generator's not working, I mean, the guy that rescued me when I cracked up the back of the trailer up in Sacramento, I've just been, like, totally blown away by the goodness of people on this trip. And I really needed that right now in my life. So the people that are here at Turkey Creek Ranch, she greeted me when I pulled into the camp. She rode with me. She, you know, hung around. They took me out to dinner on my birthday. I'm in her living room right now using their phone. The people are just so so amazing. I think a lot of it's the country people. Country people and horse people are just so giving and loving, and I've just been blown away by the people factor.
Yeah.
So, that's a big, big part of it.
Well, we're going to take another real quick break, and actually, I have a song selected. I think that kind of addresses that, and it's a song called "Horses in Life" by Marianne Kennedy. And we're talking with Kathy Ritwidge. We're going to talk when we come back, maybe about some of the characters that she's met and some of the experiences that she's. More experiences that she's had. And then, Kathy, I'm going to ask you what you might have learned about yourself while you're out on this journey. So right now, let's listen to Horses in Life by Marianne Kennedy, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Horses in Life, it's all the same to me. The reason that my heart keeps beating inside. Horses in Life, the passion was born at birth. Until my last day on earth, it'll be life.
Kathy, I know when you're out on the road, you've met a lot of really sweet people that have helped on your journey. You've got to have met a few characters that have made an impression while you're traveling.
Oh, yeah. I'm a city person, you know. I lived in New York and Chicago and L.A. Country people are very different.
Oh, goodness. Well, I did, you know, besides painting, I would assume that you've taken your camera, too.
Well, I use my iPhone.
Okay, well, that's a camera. I think most of us use our phones now because they're just handy. They're always there.
Right.
But have you met any interesting characters that kind of stand out as you've been traveling?
I have. Well, when I was in Arkansas, my dog died. And besides the kind vet that helped me out, when I got back to camp with the body, the people that ran the camp and owned the camp were so amazingly helpful. Arkansas is like a real soft spot in my heart. And that whole family buried my dog for me and cried with me. And also in Arkansas, I mean, so many things happened in Arkansas. The other thing was my first ride out, I got lost, and it was getting dark, and it was raining. And I called camp, and they sent one of the campers out to find me with a stock trailer. And the guy's name was Frankie. I don't know what his last name was. But he was a horse whisperer kind of cowboy. And the time that I spent with him was, like, almost magical. And he took me out on the trail after that, and he gave me such a long list of tips of do this, don't do that, for safety reasons, for communicating with my horse reasons. And he also talked me into putting some shoes on my horses that they were much sorer than I thought they were.
Right.
And he found someone to do that. And I'd say Frankie really sticks out as like a turning point for me.
Right.
He really is an amazing guy.
Well, you know, there have to be people that will stay in your heart and your thoughts for a long time after this trip is over with. What kind of an impression do you think you've left on these people who you've met along this route?
I don't know. I think they must think I'm crazy. You're all alone? You're doing what? You never did this before?
Oh, me. Well,
I don't know. I hope I'm entertaining them at least.
Well, I would say that you've probably made quite an impression on folks as you've traveled along. And, you know, when people are touched by things that happened to you on this trip, and, you know, you said the lady cried with you over the loss of your dog, and people that have been so kind to do so many things, you know that you have left memories that they will never forget. As you're traveling through. So it's amazing how we touch people. It's amazing to me how horses are such a binding agent. I mean, there's just a connection with people who are horse people, and maybe in ways that you would never experience if it weren't for that relationship that we have with our horses. What have you learned about your horses?
That they're much more they're more regal than I ever imagined. They brought me through the last 15 years that were really bad, and I don't want to go into, but if it wasn't for my horses, I don't think I'd be alive today. And I didn't think that, you know, Dreamy's got a crooked leg, and I was like really unsure how this was going to be on her, and could she handle it. And she's like amazing. Like, she's so strong and healthy, and deals with everything so well. And Wildflower has grown up so. I'm so proud of them. They've grown up, come so far. They're like not afraid of anything anymore. and they're always up for whatever we want to do. I mean, sometimes Wildflower won't load, but. Every time we go out on the trail, I'm always like, you know, maybe they're tired. Maybe that was a long haul. Maybe I should take it easy on them. And they're like, no, let's run. So, you know, they're amazing. My horses are amazing, and I'm so proud of them. And They mean so much to me.
Well, and you've also, I think you rescued another pup, didn't you? Another traveling companion.
I did. I rescued a puppy. Well, God knows how old he is. He acts like he's 2 months old, but he's supposedly a year old. And he's supposedly a Labrador, but I think he's got some pit bull or something else in him. Little dog in Florida, and his name is Tommy, which happens to be the same name as one of my sons. And I asked Tommy if he minded if I had a dog the same name as him, and he said, no, it's okay. But Tommy's very protective and barks his head off if anyone comes near me. It took a while for me to get used to having a dog like that, but I do feel a whole lot safer. my dogs before were always the kind that would just lick anyone to death if they came near me. So it's good to have the added protection of Tommy with me. And he's turned out to be like a really fast learner, and he goes out on trail rides with me, and he's learned a lot about, you know, he was a stray and he was starved, and he's on a real adventure.
Wow. Well, it sounds like it's been quite a journey so far, and quite a learning experience for you. And you know, it takes a lot of courage for anyone, man or woman, to, you know, have a vision of something that they want to do and then to do it. And you know, I know there are other people that have traveled across the country. There are folks that do long riding, and we had a young lady from San Diego that was on not too long ago, and she did a 1,300-mile ride, just she and her horse.
Oh,
and, interesting stories. But any time that somebody steps out of a lifestyle that may have been comfortable and familiar to do something new that they've never done before, have a lot of respect for folks like you. So you've been in 18 states?
19.
19 states?
I count in California because I did the test trip there.
Okay. All right. So you've got about 29 more to go. And how long do you anticipate that taking?
I'd like to, the schedule I've got set up, I should be done by the middle to end of September.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not too far off.
No, it's not. No. At the beginning of the trip, I was spending like a week, 2 weeks at places. You know, I was really like very unorganized with what I was doing, and I was always afraid to move, so I was always dragging out my departure. But the schedule I've got set up now, I'm planning on spending 4 nights in each campground, which is about like what most people, I think, do when they go camping on for a little vacation.
Right.
And it gives me enough time to give the horses a little bit of a break the first day, and for me to get some painting done. I still have to do laundry and grocery, and then to also get a couple of rides in, and
right,
then move on. So it kind of works out that way. It's working out pretty good right now.
Well, now, I know you said that Arkansas, there was a soft spot in your heart for the state of Arkansas. Is there a particular state that you just were impressed by the beauty going through, or does each state have their own beauty? Or
you know what's amazing to me
place?
Is every state is beautiful. It's going to be very hard to decide where to settle down. Part of this job, this trip, is to figure out where I want to live.
Right.
But I have been amazed by how once you get out of the cities and you get into places where you can actually keep horses comfortably in a more natural environment, like I don't mean a dry paddock anymore either, but
right,
and to have some trails to ride on, every state has beautiful places. It's amazing to me. But I did really love Leatherwood in North Carolina, and
okay,
I really could see living there. Because the homes are right in with the trails, and the climate seems pretty tolerable. Winters aren't too bad, and summers aren't too bad, you know.
Right.
I'd like to live someplace that's 72 degrees all year round, but I can't find that yet.
So. You let us know when you do.
Yeah.
But the southeastern part of the country is pretty. I mean, as you said, every state has its own beauty, and you've got a few more to visit. But I have a suspicion that you will not be a city girl again.
No, never again. I'm done with the cities.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I haven't even seen Montana. I mean, I've heard things about Montana that are, like, not to be believed, you know. So there's a lot of states I still haven't seen yet. So.
Well, it's going to be an interesting journey. And one thing I'd like to do is to ask if we can have you come back on the show at some point again in your journey or at the end of it and talk with us a little bit more about what's been going on. I will say this about Montana. You won't find 72-degree winters out there.
So no, I know.
Go out there at the right time of the year, and you'll have a great time. Beautiful, beautiful country that we have all across the United States. Is there anything that you would tell someone, Kathy, if they were thinking about doing something like this themselves?
If you believe in your heart that this is going to be a good journey for your soul, just figure out a way and do it, because I can't tell you how many people I've met that have said, like, oh, I wish I had done that, but now I'm too old, or
uh-huh.
Now my horse is too old. Just go with it. Figure out a way out to do it and do it, because I've grown so much and healed so much during this journey, and I'm not even half done yet. And I think that really people just set in their routines, and if you've got a great family and a great home and a great life, don't screw that up. But if you're questioning any of those things, just do it. You won't be sorry.
Those are wise words. And again, we want to keep up with you. People, again, I'm going to remind folks, you can go to kritwage.com and keep up with Kathy's blog and see some of the photographs that she takes with her iPhone and take a look at some of her paintings. They're absolutely beautiful. And I guess they can kind of communicate with you through your blog. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can leave comments, and I can comment back to you.
Okay. All right. And we're going to be continuing to follow you. And again, thanks for taking the time. Thank the folks there for me for being so generous to let you use their phone. And look forward to talking with you again real soon. And I have one more song that I picked out for you that we want to close this segment of the show with, and it's called Wishing You Wings. And again, this is by Templeton Thompson. So we've been talking with Kathy Ritwidge. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and Kathy, look forward to talking with you again soon. Thanks so much for joining us. All right.
Thank you.
We're wishing you wings, Kathy. I hope you've enjoyed the show today with these two very interesting ladies. We're happy to have had Danny Lynn Howe join us today, as well as Kathy Ritwidge. And I think that we've learned from these ladies that courage comes from living the life that we want. Next week on our show, we kind of shift gears a little bit. We're going to be cowboying up. We're going to have Tracy Pinson joining us on the show, along with Craig Cameron. And we'll be talking about the national event that's going to be taking place in Shelbyville, Tennessee. It will be the Extreme Cowboy Association National Championships. And also around the Campfire Cafe, Michael Jonathan, host of the nationally syndicated radio program, Woodsongs, the Woodsongs radio show. So we've got a great show coming next week for you. And we hope you'll join us each Thursday on Equestrian Legacy Radio at noon Central Standard Time. Please visit our Facebook page and like us there. It's Equestrian Legacy Radio. And also visit equestrianlegacy.net to keep up with things that are coming up through our programming. And be sure and visit our generous sponsors at the General Store and Marketplace on equestrianlegacy.net as well. I'm your host, Gary Holt, and we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening.
It's a perfect day to lose our way, watching the world drifting by, living without asking why. A mystery. Throw all the questions away, then it becomes plain as day. What love really means, anything, everything, we'll never know till we try. Let's go wondering past the wondering why, under a rolling sky. How deep is blue? I wish I knew. There is no need to explain. It'll all wash away in the rain. So let it go where it will flow.